Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Dan Wiederer.
You've got a guy with credentials, you got a guy with some qualifications, and now there's just, when done at its best, provides a level of steadiness and stability that helps create and stimulate success.
On-air contributor for 670 The Score.
Listen, we're not going to accept the status quo. We are going to push for more. We are going to strive for more.
Co-host of the Take the North podcast with our own David Haw.
We're going to take the North and never give it back.
Dan Wiederer with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Bear down. Let's go.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Always fun to talk to our friend Dan Wiederer. He is in Detroit covering the draft for the Chicago Tribune, and he joins us now on The Score hotline. Dan, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. Happy stadium drawing day to you guys.
Yeah, you're going to miss it. You got caught in Detroit while they're giving you all the numbers and the photo. The photos will look great. The drawings will look great. The numbers are going to be the ones where everyone is squinting to try to understand.
Yeah, as somebody who just spent part of spring break in a theme park, this is like getting in the line for the thrill ride that's got a 2.5 hour wait, right? Like, there's a long way to go before you actually get to ride the ride, and there's a lot of painstaking patience that's needed before you get there.
Well, let's start there, Dan, because I think your colleagues at the Tribune did a terrific job last night getting the information, and the rest of the story is it's a $4.6 billion plan in terms of the scope of it, and $2.3 billion would come from the Bears, and the other 50%, the other half, would come from the public in terms of government assistance and public subsidies. How surprised are you by that division of the pie, and you being familiar with Kevin Warren as well as you are, how do you think he will address those questions today?
Yeah, I'm curious to hear how he and they address them, because obviously this is something they've given great thought to and presumably have a lot of detail behind. And so they've got to explain to a really large and curious audience where all this money is going to be generated and where it's going to come from. And as you guys know, increasingly people that are asked to vote on whether they would like to contribute to funding professional sports stadiums say, no, thank you. You know, figure it out yourself. And so there's a lot behind that. And then you also need to see what they're selling in terms of projected revenues and what are the advantages of having this stadium downtown that will, you know, pay off for the city and the taxpayers and the residents of, you know, Chicago, of Cook County, of Illinois, in ways that make sense. And so there's a lot here. There's a very big obstacle course that they're going to have to steer through. And I'm just ready to hear some answers and some details behind what has been a tease now for the last month and a half.
Yeah, and, you know, they still own the property in Arlington Heights. So who knows how life turns out. It's going to be fascinating to see what the legislature says and how this goes over in terms of the taxpayer price tag and how people feel about this. So I understand why they're doing it this quickly. I understand why they're trying to get this done before we get to the draft. But, you know, it does take away from just enjoying what is going to be a pretty spectacular moment for the Bears. And I am anticipating that that everyone's going to be super excited come Friday morning. I just don't know what they're going to do with that second of the two picks. I know Bigsy had Roma Dunze in his final mock draft. And I got to tell you, if that's the case, you know, the photo of the two guys running into each other on the airplane yesterday and all that, I got to tell you, would be fantastic. It would be a hell of a receiver room if you added that guy to it. I think he's got some Larry Fitzgerald type of possibilities. I love that kid, and I would love the Bears to get him.
No, it's funny that you mentioned the Larry Fitzgerald comp, because that's been brought up to me a couple different times. And then Brian Baldinger on our podcast said that Adunze is a bigger, faster, stronger Garrett Wilson. And you hear endorsements like that, and you say, sign me up. And as you mentioned, it's clear from what's kind of developed on social media, and we'll get a chance to talk to both guys this morning at a Play 60 event in downtown Detroit, that you wouldn't have to sell that pick to your new quarterback. It seems like he'd be on board right out of the gates with a guy he's already started to build chemistry with. That seems to be the most popular pick in the mock draft. But as I've been saying for weeks, there's a menu there that most likely when the pick comes up at 9 tomorrow night, that Ryan Poles is going to be able to be right in 5, 6, 7 different ways, because the volume of players available to him there and the way that they would address a need that improves this football team is obvious. And so it's going to be very difficult to wake up Friday morning and be like, oh man, that's pretty disappointing, particularly when you're already riding the momentum of getting the best quarterback in the draft at number one overall with somebody else's pick, which is the greatest gift that this franchise may have ever gotten.
Before you chased Caleb Williams to Detroit, you were at the press conference at Hallis Hall. What did you hear from Ryan Poles that stood out?
Yeah, so a couple things that were really notable to me is, obviously you guys know that the Bears only have 4 picks going into this draft, and so we talked all about 1 and 9. Well, they're only going to be on the clock 2 more times in the last 248 selections of the draft, which, you know, barring trades, is a pretty long time to wait. Now, Ryan seems incredibly comfortable in having a small draft class this year, one based on the fact that this isn't widely regarded as a super deep draft beyond round 5 or really beyond round 4. And number 2, that they just feel like their roster is in a position where they don't have to force the issue and have a draft class of 7 or 8 or 9 or 10. And so he feels very comfortable there. And then the other thing that was really notable to me was him bringing up the attraction to an interior pass rusher, which is something that Matt Eberflus brought up in Orlando last month. And David, I know where I stand on this. It's like, I agree with their philosophy there. I'm just curious on why they're making it public. And is there more to it, trying to potentially scare a team interested in Byron Murphy up ahead of them at 9 to then maybe push a receiver like Roma Dunze down to them at 9? So, the sentiment was accurate and notable. I just wasn't sure why they were sharing it publicly at this time.
Yeah, it's interesting. I thought that the thing that he said that interested me is he believes it's going to be difficult to make the roster. I thought that was a powerful statement, just given some of their roster problems. And, you know, I think a punter could make the roster, and I know David's going to give me a dirty look because I keep mentioning that. But I'd like to – I think that when I look at the bottom part of their roster – Is their depth as good as he seems to imply that it is?
Great question. I'll start with the most important nugget from that question. Number one, Brad Biggs and I have started to put together our list of guys that should be available to the Bears on day 2 and 3 with those last 2 picks. Mm-hmm. And Torrey Taylor, Iowa punter, is on that list, Molly.
Let's
so
go.
Be excited. You know, you can read that capsule and get jacked up. I don't know that the roster is in as good a shape as they believe. I don't know that the football team is in as good of a shape as they believe. This to me, again, is a week where I think it's a celebration of opportunity, but it's not a celebration of achievement because you haven't done anything yet, you know. And 7-10, sure, that was a nice finish to last season, but you were still a last place football team, you know. And so, like, let's just understand where we are on the climb and acknowledge that and understand that to be a consistently competitive football team, there's a lot more work to be done, including building out the depth of that roster in a way where then it does become legitimately difficult to make that roster. I think they're in a much better place, obviously, than they were when Ryan Poles took over 2 years ago. But there is significant work to be done to get this roster positioned to be competitive every single week they play a football game.
We're talking to Dan Weider, and he is in Detroit, and that's where Parkins and Spiegel will be tomorrow for the draft special live from Detroit. Tune in tomorrow after the Cubs game from 5 to 9, wall-to-wall coverage of round one, including expert analysis from Dave Wanstead, Patrick Manley. Tune in on The Score and the Odyssey app. Also, you can watch it on Twitch, X, or YouTube, Parkins and Spiegel Draft Special. Draft coverage on The Score presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com and the number one draft pick, Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. All right, Dan, when will it get interesting? We know the take of Caleb Williams. When do you think we'll get a surprise that, uh-oh, we don't know what to do now because we weren't expecting this?
Interesting for the Bears?
Yes.
Pick five, pick four?
Well,
I don't think it'll get interesting because I think that they've run through every single possible scenario. I think there will be certainly some form of surprise in the top five, you know, for the rest of us. But the Bears will be ready to pivot off, you know, if you know, who knows, maybe five quarterbacks go before they pick.
Wow.
Desperation is crazy. You're certainly going to get three, and I think the consensus around the league is that there will be a fourth taken before you get down to nine. But I don't think anything is going to shake them because, like I say, this isn't a draft that falls off until, like, 21. You know, so picking at nine, you're just sitting there at this position of strength where you can do whatever you want. And Ryan talked about breaking his team into teams to state the case for an offensive lineman, to state the case for a receiver, to state the case for a defensive lineman. And it doesn't feel like that homework assignment pushed them down one, this is the path we have to go down strategy. And so they'll be nimble and they'll be ready to make whatever plays there at nine. And I think there's a really good one to be made there.
You know, it's very interesting. The other thing that he said that I found fascinating is that he said his preference is for the inside guy, meaning a
right.
defensive tackle, over an outside guy when he grades prospects. So that, you know, he's not apparently looking for an edge at number nine, which I felt was big news. And we know there's basically one defensive tackle, and Big Z wrote about him recently. I'm just curious, when you look at what they have on their roster and what their needs are, should they be redrafting the defensive tackle position, where right now, if you just look at their depth chart, you know, a guy they took last year is listed as their defensive tackle, and we know they've got some they've got a nose tackle. We're talking about a pass rusher. And you know, I don't know really if we can sit here and say with any certainty that Jervon Dexter's going to be that guy. But between him and Zach Pickens, they did invest in that position. Are they going to have to go back to it? Or is it about finding someone who upgrades you and always looking for the upgrade?
I think always looking for the upgrade is a smart move when you're in the position the Bears are in. Now, I'm never a big advocate of, you know, redrafting or trying to cover up your past shortcomings so quickly. It felt like during the Ryan Pace years, they were constantly making up for mistakes they made at tight end and you know, to some extent receiver, and trying to figure things out over and over again at the same positions. And you don't want to be doing that all the time. But if you've identified Byron Murphy as a guy who immediately becomes the complement to Montez Sweat in your pass rush, and you believe that is something that shoots your defense up a level, then I don't care that you took Dexter and Pickens last year. I don't care that you know, you're going to have to use another resource to get that. That's a position that we know in this defense has been absolutely paramount to reaching the next level. David and I talked yesterday about, you know, Molly, you experienced it as well with the last Super Bowl team in the city. It was, you know, you had Tommy Harris there on the inside. And when Tommy played, that defense was different. When Tommy got hurt, that defense was different. And so, you know, like if you find that guy and you've identified that guy to be the premium difference maker to, you know, again, to complement Montez Sweat, then go ahead and swing for it. I've got no issues with it, and then you just figure out the rest from there.
Dan, I like the way you put it. I think it was in the Tribune or coming in the Tribune, and we talked about it yesterday on the pod, that the Bears often, maybe we in Chicago do this as well, celebrate the achievement when we really should be celebrating just the opportunity, because you really haven't achieved anything yet. And it crossed my mind yesterday when Ryan Poles and Ian Cunningham were asked a question about, well, are you happy that you're through this rebuild? What? When did that happen?
Right.
Where are they in this rebuild? And how much should we be concerned that there's this feeling that's starting to build that maybe they're past it?
Well, you and I are still collecting royalties on the No Excuses Tour of 2023. This year, I think we've got a new theme that we're willing to shove to the side when we get there, but it's not yet, you know, and you said that yesterday, that it's just not yet. Like it's too early to start saying, ha-ha, we've arrived. There's a lot of victory Mondays and you know, Fridays and whatever else ahead before you can start proclaiming that the Bears are through the rebuild. You have to get yourself into the playoffs once, twice, three times before you're fully through the rebuild. And so look, like, you know, the Bears over time have been the best in the NFL at losing gracefully and losing without chaos, right? Like they pride themselves on that. There's also a habit in this city of, you know, just proclaiming success well before the success has occurred. And if we didn't live that with the Justin Fields era and learn from it, I don't know if we'll ever learn from it. There's a lot of success that needs to occur before you can start saying, yeah, we're there. You're not there yet. Not yet, not yet, not yet. And I'll keep trumpeting the not yet bugle until we are there. And then I'll say yes. And we're there. And they can say that the roster is in position to have success over a number of years. And that's with the entire roster. It's with the quarterback, who's obviously going to come in with a ton of fanfare, and every beautiful highlight he makes during training camp is going to be celebrated. But until he has a good game, followed by a good month, followed by a good season, followed by another good season, you can't proclaim success. That's how this league works, and that's how it always will work.
I'm curious, Dan. Braxton Jones, we talked to Coach Wannstedt yesterday, and he said he thought that Braxton Jones played better at the end of the year, was getting better as a player. Now, I get it, fifth-round draft pick, you're always going to be looking at getting better at left tackle. But they did invest in this guy, and I don't mean money, I mean time.
Right.
He's had 28 starts, whatever it is. So here he goes into his third season as a starter. Is he good enough to be the left tackle? Do they have to be worried about helping him, protecting him? What is your take on him as a player, and is he a guy that you're looking to upgrade from, or can you get by with him, and do you want to know if he improves in his third year?
So a few things here. Remember, the fourth most significant headline of that infamous Wednesday at Hallis Hall last September was that Braxton Jones was going on IR with a neck injury, right? Like, and we forget that he missed a chunk of last season with an injury to a body part that's pretty serious. I don't have all the medical reports that they have inside the building there, but that's something that they have to have firsthand knowledge on is there something here that we have to be worried about long-term? The second part of that is what you just said, that like there is an opportunity here to get better, potentially. They're in a position of strength here because you can go to week one with Braxton Jones as your starting left tackle and feel comfortable. Now, do you want to go to the next level and feel confident by getting a tackle in a very rich tackle class here in the next couple of days that allows you to be better up front in front of your rookie quarterback who needs a lot of help to develop properly? And there are some really good left tackle prospects. And then there are some guys that are standard right tackle prospects that could, you know, give you the intrigue in saying, we know Darnell Wright played left tackle in college. We could shift him over that to that side and play him on the left side, draft the right tackle. So they've got options here at the tackle position. And I don't think that they're just sitting on their hands there saying, all right, well, we've got Darnell and Braxton and we're good to go here. They're going to explore this. And if they find a guy that they feel like gives their offense a chance to really push forward, because of what he can do at the tackle position, then they'll invest in that and then figure it out from there. And that's the state of this right now. Like, good teams continually try to get better, even when they feel comfortable. They're trying to go one level beyond comfortable to get really, really good.
Along those lines, talk to me about Brock Bowers. You think that's still a viable possibility for the Bears, whether they stay at 9 or trade back?
No, I do, right? Like he's on the list of 11 players that we've got highlighted that they can take at number 9. I think probably it makes more sense to do it after a trade back if you feel comfortable enough doing that. Look, like Patrick Mahomes plays in Kansas City where Ryan Poles came from. He's had his most reliable receiver during his Hall of Fame career has been Travis Kelce. Tom Brady played forever in New England. His best target over his time there was Rob Gronkowski. There's a case to be made that says you get yourself a premier pass-catching tight end and your quarterback lives a pretty nice life. And so, look, again, that's another option there when you're talking about adding a weapon or a protector or a pass rusher. They've got a list of prospects there available to them, like you say, not only at 9, but in the top 15 to 18, that would make sense. And I think you could make a case for it. Now, I think you'd get pushback the next day saying, well, you already got Cole. You've already got Gerald Everett. You know, how are you going to blend this together when you have so many other needs? But talent-wise, you talk to people around the league, and Bowers checks every single box as a guy that's going to be a difference-making tight end for, you know, 10 years.
All right, so when we are tracking their draft and who the players are coming in, et cetera, we've got to be aware of the fact that, you know, they used a pick for Montez Sweat. They used a pick for Keenan Allen. They used a pick for Ryan Bates. And yep. I'm just curious where you're at with the center position, Ryan Bates. Could you repeat history here moving a guy to center that might be better at guard, and is he a center? This whole nonsense with Cody Whitehair, could you be running the same show? I like that they got Coleman Shelton because the guy is a center and that's it. Do they need to draft a center? Do they need help when you have injury concerns with both Nate Davis and Tevin Jenkins inside? Do they need interior line help?
Well, and that's where the signing of Bates helps, because he does have position flexibility where if you decide to draft a center, you can bump him up to guard, and he can help you at guard in some way at some point. If you decide to find a guard in the draft, well, then you feel better about Shelton and Bates at the center position. Three names of guys that could be available to the Bears on, you know, round 3 or round 4: Zach Frazier, Cedric Van Praan Granger, and Bo Limmer, West Virginia, Georgia, Arkansas guys there respectively. And you've got a chance there in those positions to explore whether those guys make sense to you. And so, Molly, this kind of marries up with the question you asked a few minutes ago, where you start going through position by position and saying, man, they could really use a little more here. They could really use a little more there. They could really use a little more here. And then you say, well, wait a second. Is it really going to be that hard to make this roster when there's still so many holes that need to be plugged? And so that's where they're at. You know, you're trying to make this a more competitive team. They've got a lot of roster spaces left. So it'll be interesting what they do when the draft ends, whether that's a high volume of undrafted rookies that they're bringing in, or whether they go to the, you know, sixth wave of free agency and find a couple veterans that are still hanging out there waiting for a prove it deal and fill out the roster that way. That's going to be some active times finishing the last part of the roster when we get through Saturday night.
Great stuff, Dan. Thank you. Have fun in Detroit. Look forward to everything you write.
Thanks, Dan.
Always, always fun in Detroit, guys. We'll talk soon.
Hit that Motown Museum. It's a nice stop. Been there many a time.
Good
I
time.
Love Detroit. I go draft to Detroit is, once a year, man.
It's great, great atmosphere the next couple of days.
It's going to be great. You know, the other thing that we haven't talked about, maybe we should talk a little bit about, is who are the Detroit Lions taking? What are the Green Bay Packers doing? Do we care about the Vikings moving up for a quarterback? See what I'm saying?
Yep.
There's a division that you got to dominate.
We'll talk about that next.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Mornings with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Coach has called you the greatest college quarterback to ever play at Michigan. What do you think you are?
I think I'm JJ McCarthy, kid from LaGrange Park, Illinois, that's just trying to be the best he could possibly be every day. That's all I think of myself as.
How about you add national champion to that?
Say that one more time.
National champ?
Yeah, we'll take that. That's for sure.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Our thanks to ESPN for that highlight. That is J.J. McCarthy being interviewed, kid from LaGrange Park, Illinois.
I wonder if he tattooed 15-0 with a big Michigan M on his shoulder like Jim Harbaugh did.
Yeah, I saw that.
That
I
was
saw
pretty
that
cool.
Tattoo.
Yeah, forever tattooed.
But you know, the curious thing about the draft, maybe the most curious player in the draft is J.J. McCarthy, the national champion at Michigan, one of 18 Michigan players who were at the combine.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a school of thought that perhaps Michigan will land more drafted players than any college team in the history of the NFL draft. They would need 16. I think Georgia had 15 players taken 1 year. They would need 16 of those 18 players at the combine to be drafted.
Be appropriate
to hit that.
The draft in Detroit and Michigan setting a record. That would be pretty cool symmetry there for that program and for this draft. J.J. McCarthy, let's face it, if he goes to the Vikings, it will signify the boldest move of the first round.
Yeah.
Because the Vikings, in all likelihood, would require – they would have to be willing to give up the 23rd and the 11th pick to move up to likely the fourth spot. I would think the fourth spot. I don't think the Patriots are open for business at number 3. The Cardinals might be at number 4. Either way, it seems that the Vikings would like the opportunity to draft J.J. McCarthy and don't want to run the risk that he would be gone by the time they're on the clock.
Yeah, and he is most likely going to be gone by the time they're on the clock.
Yeah,
at
11.
I don't think J.J.'s falling.
No.
I think he'll be taken before – I think J.J. goes before the Bears pick. So we know the Bears take Caleb Williams. We know the names of the quarterback. We're not sure about what order. Jaden Daniels goes to Washington.
They have some issues there, though. The Jaden Daniels agent criticizing the Commanders for their little group – outing with all the quarterbacks invited at the same time. I don't know if that bodes well for a happy marriage. Because if you're drafting a guy whose agent's already chirping, is that a good idea? Maybe, maybe not. But anyway, I think you either that's Drake May or Daniels. Those might be the first three. And then you get to the Cardinals at 4. Then you think J.J. McCarthy's in play anywhere between 4, 5, and 6.
And again, is Minnesota the team that goes up there? And if they do, you know, they got a pretty good receiver there in Justin Jefferson. He hasn't shown up in the offseason. He's looking to get paid. There's all sorts of rumors floating around about 3 different receivers that are looking to get paid. Could they be traded come draft day? We'll see. We'll see if there are any big moves with big name players.
I think
unlikely, in my opinion.
I agree with that. This is where if you are a Bears fan, it's going to maybe be difficult to be a J.J. McCarthy fan. I think that he's an easy guy to root for. He is straight out of central casting as far as an NFL franchise quarterback. Looks apart, gets along with teammates, coaches love him. And I think he's going to be pretty good. But he's also, if you're the Vikings, that's a perfect spot.
Yeah.
It's a perfect spot for him. It's conducive to immediate success.
Yep.
Sam Darnold is there just to kind of maybe ease the transition, yep. not to take his job, but to ease the transition.
Could be the opening day starter, could start half the season.
Could,
who knows?
Could be a bridge guy.
Yeah.
Kevin O'Connell's the perfect coach for J.J. McCarthy.
Right.
I think it would be an extension of what he'd experienced at Michigan in that at Michigan, I think he ran more of a pro-style offense than people realize because it was run heavy. They didn't ask him to do a ton, but he also understands some of the concepts more than some of these other quarterbacks might because of Harbaugh.
Okay. So that's a very interesting one. The number one team in the division right now is Detroit. They're picking, I think, 29th. They picked down at the bottom.
They're 29th. Yeah, and the Packers are 25th.
And the Packers are 25th. Both those teams are looking for help on the back end of their defense.
And that's where you find it, typically. You could find safeties or cornerbacks who might fall because this draft is so heavy with offensive tackles, quarterbacks, and wide receivers. That's going to push everybody back down a notch. The edge rusher, which might be 3-4 deep in the first round. You know, all those cornerbacks, there's some years where there could be three cornerbacks going to the top 10.
Yes.
This isn't one of those years. So if you're drafting in the bottom 20 to 32, I think you look at that as maybe, and you're the Lions and the Packers, a good year to need defensive backs because it might be pushed down to you.
So let's say, for the sake of argument, that both those teams get defensive backs. Do you believe the Bears are going to come out of this draft? And again, two top 10 picks. They could trade down and get more. Who knows? You know, they could also, if you really think about it, they could, if there's someone they have to have come the third round, they could trade one of their seconds for next year for a third round pick this year. It's a way of getting back in the draft and getting another player. If indeed their board falls in a certain way where they feel like they have to do that. But I guess my question is, do the Bears come out of this draft in a position to challenge for the division? Or are they still behind Detroit and Green Bay?
I don't think that they're in a position to challenge for the division. Okay. I think that would be assuming too much, just like I asked Dan Weider about, you know, asking the Bears brain trust if they're how they feel now that they're through the rebuild. They're not.
No, they're in the rebuild.
Once they're through the rebuild, then we can talk about division titles. I don't think we're there yet, but there's a difference, and it is a slight one, but it's significant between being a division contender and being a playoff team. A playoff team means you snuck in through the wild card door in the back, and it's okay because you backed in and it's your time now. The Lions are in a different league right now. The gap is still too wide to close in one off season. You can't do it all at once.
See, the Lions aren't the team that bothers me. I think the Bears play the Lions well. I think just in terms of matchups, for whatever reason, the Bears can match up with the Lions. The Packers just seem to have their number.
They do.
Flower has their number. I mean, I'm being honest about it.
Well,
that's the team that bothers me a lot more than Detroit.
Well, I can understand that.
The Bears didn't match up. They played them first and last, and they were awful in both games.
But you're going to have to look at things in a way that the matchups that existed for the last 3 years or so, the Dan Campbell era, really don't apply any longer because Justin Fields is gone. And one of the reasons the Bears played the Lions so well is because the insistence on playing man coverage against a quarterback that made you pay for it. And he made you pay for it with his legs and his ability to make plays. Now, the Bears are going to have an entirely different look offensively.
Right.
They may match up better against different teams now than they have historically, and the Lions may be one of those teams. Maybe it won't be such a good matchup, and maybe it'll be better against the Packers. We don't know because we haven't seen it yet. And I think when we look at the past, I think we have to factor in the idea that Justin Fields was not a quarterback that you wanted to play man coverage against consistently, and the Lions insisted on doing that, which opened up all kinds of opportunities.
312-644-6767 is the telephone number.
Molly, we have a little breaking news on the score brought to you by BetQL Smarter Bets. Start with BetQL. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Adam Schefter saying that the Bears signed Ian Cunningham, the assistant GM, to a contract extension.
Makes sense. They spent time thanking him and talking about how great he is and how helpful he is. And, you know, the other element is he's in line to get his own team here coming up. So it's good to bring him back. I don't know how long he is going to be here, because I would imagine if it doesn't happen this year, and I doubt it will, next year he seems like he's going to be a general manager somewhere else. And guess what? The Bears will get draft compensation.
He's turned down jobs, hasn't he? Didn't he take his name out of the running in Arizona?
He likes working with Ryan Poles. They're good buds.
He interviewed in L.A. with the Chargers job, and he and Ryan Poles are very good friends, and they have a pretty good rapport, and they work well together.
So it makes perfect sense to make sure that he's rewarded for the job he's done to this point. 312-644-6767. We're going to talk to Bruce next. We're going to get an update on some of the Cubs' goings-on, and we'll ask him how long till they fire the manager on the South Side, or is that not even a question? Mully and Haw on the Score.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Baseball. Bruce Levine.
It's great to talk some baseball.
Score Baseball Insider, covering the Cubs and White Sox for more than 30 years.
Bruce Levine is a newsbreaker.
Inside the Clubhouse co-host, alongside our own David Haw.
We've got a lot of baseball conversation to cover.
Great being with you, talking baseball.
Bruce Levine.
That's a really good question, Bruce.
See, Bruce asked the first hard question.
With Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Always a delight to talk to our friend Bruce Levine. He joins us on The Score Hotline. Hey, Bruce, how are you?
I'm doing good, guys. Where do you want to begin today, North or South Side?
Let's start with the North Siders. Let's start with the news that that Kyle Hendricks has a lower back issue, and you brought Wesneski back up. Drew Smyly has got a hip pointer of some kind. Did we see that coming? The question is, when you look at Hendricks and you look at where they're at, we've talked a lot about it. I know they saw progress in the last time out, but he only lasted four innings, and you know, really that fourth inning, it was a bizarre inning, four straight singles.
I think you're asking me, do I believe the injury is real for the back?
That's right.
And in most cases, I would say no. With Kyle Hendricks, he's going to talk to the media today before the game. So we're going to hear exactly what he thinks is going on. I do know the plan is for him to rehabilitate himself in Arizona. Now, is this more mental than physical, even for one of the most accomplished pitchers in Chicago Cub history? At age almost 35 this August, are there bullets left in the arm? I think that's the thing that everybody has been asking since he first started pitching this year. And again, very few more beloved guys by the fan base, by the media, just a terrific individual. Everybody is rooting for him. But, you know, the reality is, are there any bullets left in that arm? And I don't know. I don't know that answer. I think common sense tells you that right now he can't get through his pitches. He cannot complete his pitches. Is it the back, or is it a fact that there's just too many bullets that have been thrown?
Bruce, I also wonder about the move releasing or designated Garrett Cooper for assignment and bringing up Matt Mervis. Did not necessarily see that coming. I know that Patrick Wisdom, to some degree, made Cooper a little bit of a duplicate part because of the right-handed power. But what are the expectations for Matt Mervis, and how often will he be used?
Well, you know, as you see, he was thrown in right away, you know, after failing last year and then, you know, having a pretty good spring this year as well as the beginning to his season at AAA. They're going to need left-handed bats, and you identified it, the fact that they have 16 games in a row. I believe only two of them are against left-handed pitchers coming up. So therefore, they looked at Cooper and they went, well, we really have a duplication here in Hibben Wisdom. And on top of that, we're not liking what we see with Cooper's swing, especially against when we have to use him against right-handers. So they made the move. And again, I think, you know, it's a tough break for Cooper, but it's also a resounding thumbs up for the Chicago Cubs and their farm system, the way they feel about their players these days, that they do not have to step out of the organization to be able to improve. And I think with Mervis, we'll see that. I got a chance to talk to him yesterday, and he was a kid that was really tough on himself when he was going bad last year at the beginning of the year and failed to be able to hit. He talked to me about dealing with outside people, his family, being more open about dealing with the anxiety of not doing well. So we hear about this more and more in sports now. I think it's a refreshing thing that you don't have to be that macho guy any longer to just suck it up and get it done, that there are other vehicles for athletes to get better when they're feeling the pressure.
I love that interview, Bruce, and it was a great question about his confidence, and he was very open, I thought, in answering it. You know, you look at a guy like Garrett Cooper, should the Sox sign him? And I ask that question about every guy in baseball.
You know what? As soon as he was released, I said the White Sox, and then I looked at Eloy, and then I looked at first base where you have Vaughn. Well, if you believe Steve Stone, and I do after 40 years of listening to him here in Chicago, he believes the arm is coming, the bat is coming around, and he's starting to hit the ball a little harder. And I'm hoping that for all of the White Sox players. Nobody's been hitting it very hard lately.
Yeah. Go ahead, Dave. I'm sorry.
Bruce, I wonder if two things. One, is Pedro Grifol going to take the fall for the Sox historically bad start? And is Ozzie Guillen a viable candidate to replace him?
I hope not on both counts. One is, you know, has Grifol done anything wrong? No, I don't think he has. Would someone be better in that role down the road? Maybe so. How would we be able to decide right now? How would you guys be able to decide if Grifol's doing a good job or not with the talent he has right now?
He was terrible last night. He moved his – I mean, that's a manager loss when you change your bullpen and it blows up on you.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
How many games has he had to manage?
At some point, you got to sit up and take notice of this going to hell.
Okay. Let's work on that premise.
Even if it isn't his fault.
Let's work on that premise that you're right. So who would you bring into this mess? Would you bring in Ozzie?
Yes, I would bring in Ozzie Guillen.
I would too.
Would he want it?
We're going to ask him.
We'll ask him.
It's coming up after
minutes.
You, Bruce.
Yeah.
I think you have to at least consider it. You have to do something with a fan base that is finding every reason. They don't have to look very hard to look away.
Mm-hmm. You know, I do believe that different managers bring different things to the table, but I think we're searching for straws here, guys, as far as the talent that we're seeing out there. The talent's just not good enough. You guys have watched your baseball your whole lives. White Sox fans have been watching forever. Is there anybody out there outside of Vaughn, maybe Benintendi, that you feel can get better?
Well, their catching position, yeah. I mean, Maldonado's
Corey
hitting
Lee is .0.
No, I mean, are any of these players you think are better than what they're playing?
Well, I mean, get different players then. Try different. Listen, they brought up Danny Mendick, and he's got three hits. They brought up Danny Mendick, and I'm like, oh, my God, I've heard of him. Oh, this is progress.
It's crazy.
But he's been released twice.
That's why I said you know? It's crazy.
I mean,
that's where they're at.
It's April 24th. You can't concede.
Right. I understand, and I don't want them to concede on the season. But, you know, outside of, you know, you're going to have Tommy Pham come up. Right. Hopefully he's going to bring some juice. You know, Clevinger is going to pitch better. He's probably going to pitch five or six good innings. They got a good start from Fetty yesterday. Yep. There are some positive signs. It's just totally wiped away when you see 3-20. You know, nobody sees 3-20 starts ever. And it's just mind-boggling. People, when they hear the White Sox lost last night, some of the media people were laughing. And they weren't laughing to be mean. It was a nervous type of laugh, like, how can you continue to lose games in so many different ways?
Great stuff, Bruce. Appreciate your time as always, buddy.
Guys, have a great day.
Thanks,
that's
Bruce.
Bruce Levine. We're going to bring Ozzy in. We'll talk next to Ozzy Guillen, and we're going to ask him the hard questions, like, please take over. Is that more of a request than a question? We'll get to Ozzy. Mully and Haw on the Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.